Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main. I'm the new host of After Things. And I'm joined by, let me read this right, Justin Robert Younga? Young?
That's me. Hey, everybody. And, Justin Robert Younga here.
And Bryce Castillo.
Castillo, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. Guys, I'm glad that I won the job. Yeah. Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me on as your host of this show.
You got big shoes to fill after Brian died.
I'm sorry the loss of this person who was important to you. I wish I knew him, but I don't because I'm the new host here. I was organizing my house in Florida, which has many, many memories, lots of stuff. And what I decided to do was listen to audiobooks while I did this. And I listened to a lot of audiobooks. I had a audiobook vacation that involved a lot of sweating and sneezing and packing things up and putting things in boxes and stuff and sorting and whatnot. But the point is, I listened to some really good ones, some interesting ones, and including Eccentric Orbits, all about the Iridium satellite network. But the first one that I started that I enjoyed considerably was The Upstarts, about Uber and Airbnb. And this was by Brad Stone, who also did, I think it was The Everything Store about Amazon, which I thought was a really, really good story about Amazon, et cetera. The Upstarts goes into how Uber and Airbnb basically disrupted, you know, totally two different industries in a very dramatic way. Uber is a huge transportation company now. It's valued at $40 or $60 billion. That's the valuation of it. It's not publicly traded, but that's the valuation of it. It's a very super common thing. Airbnb probably has more guests per night than the largest hotel chain in the world. They both work out very radically interesting models. With Uber, it's we're not going to own the car. We'll take advantage of these assets that other people have sitting in their driveway. Airbnb is a similar model. People have rooms. We'll just take advantage of that. Both of them, although they're kind of technology companies, they're not really technology companies in the sense that you could have done what they did in the 90s. You could have used the 90s internet to do this. The smartphone certainly made it much more convenient, particularly in the case of Uber, where you're out somewhere and you want to do that. But you could have done an Uber by a phone, you know, a cell phone, call this number, whatever kind of thing. But the point is, what made them disruptive and the ability to do that was kind of almost a mindset where Uber said, hey, if we're capitalized enough, we can fight regulations that may prevent us from doing what we want to do. Same with Airbnb, is there was enough capitalization going in there that they're able to sort of disrupt and do what they were going to go do. And although they're not major, like, brilliant technological innovations, they are social innovations. They're let's reorganize the way we think about stuff. And this has caused sort of like now there's this Airbnb of office space, the Uber of this and that, and people trying to rethink the way we allocate or use assets, you know, assets that are sitting around that aren't being utilized. And I'm curious to know, like, what are other unrealized assets? What are other things that perhaps that we have that could be put to greater use? Now, I have a house in Florida. I have tons of books there, right? Now, books are very hard to sort of transmit, send around, whatever, if they're not in digital format. There have been people who've tried to make it easier for you to, like, lend your ebooks and stuff like that. But that runs counter to, like, that's an uphill battle, certainly. But there have been other things like video game exchanges, things like that, food prep, people using their kitchens. Like, California finally changed its regulations, allowing you to prepare stuff in your own kitchen to sell to other people, which you couldn't do before. Oh. And lo and behold, thousands of new businesses sprung up.
Yeah.
You know, once you change the regulations on that, allowed people to do it. I don't think California learned that lesson, but, you know, nonetheless, that was sort of an interesting innovation.
So
I know
what
I just sprung
things
that on you.
Okay. So I guess what both Uber and Airbnb took advantage of are just, you know, the things that cost you a lot of money that aren't always of value to you.
Mm-hmm.
or could be of more value to you. You know, like mm-hmm. the idea that, and especially Uber as it kind of traverses its, you know, legal wranglings on what your relationship to Uber is, you know, their pitch is like, hey, you know, you want to drive in your spare time, you want to drive when you're unemployed, this is the best way to do it, right?
Well, I was going to say, I want to stop you there because you brought up a very good distinction there. And I would say that because I said Uber, like, oh, you have a car sitting in your driveway. Well, that's more like what Turo, where like a car rental service does, is I can rent my car to somebody else. But Uber capitalizes on a car in somebody's time. There's a service that somebody, yeah. You know, we have cars, but we will use Uber because we don't want to drive or don't have time to drive. So I want to follow that thread for a moment because that's a very, very good example of, okay, I have free time. What is a thing that I can do with my time that somebody else might need done? Well, we get into the idea of kind of the share economy, you know, what's the other phrase I'm forgetting about? You know, the idea of like, if you have X amount of downtime, whatever, to go do that, how do you utilize that? Driving somebody else somewhere else, you know, can make sense because I've got a car, I've got 5 hours to kill on a Saturday. Right. I can hop in my car and just drive around and I will make more money than if I just sat still. And it's very easy to put a price on that.
And I think also that's everyone has the skill to drive if you have a car, right? Like
so.
It's not like you could say, you know, like personal chef on demand or something, like, yeah. You know, where it's like you would have to be a good cook to be able to have somebody pay you to do it. I guess Fiverr is kind of the catch-all, or TaskRabbit is the catch-all for just some random, please assemble my furniture, you know, please put these things into these envelopes, like kind of solution, right? So that's just grunt work, manual labor as put into that. But I think that what's fascinating is the idea of, you know, that plus a thing, the thing that we own and the time that we have to use it, you know, coming together and being something where you can make money off it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm fascinated whenever I hear about these new forms that come out. Like there was Uber for office space, which I thought was kind of interesting because if you have an office and let's say you have a spare desk or Airbnb for office space, that's a neat idea. You know, if you trust, you know, if you're willing to trust a stranger in your office space, whatever, to give them access to it, because there are some people that want office space, but they don't want to go sign leases and maybe they could use them for a couple of weeks. I thought that was kind of clever. You know, and here, so it's funny because like I put a bunch of stuff in storage and I used the U-Haul U-Box, which is kind of like pods, but you can do, they're smaller modules and they will deliver them. You can go visit them at the warehouse or you can have them delivered anywhere you want. So it's like whatever I want to move out to, if I wanted to move stuff out to California, if I want to move into a different house somewhere else, it's a very easy way to do that. And I thought that was kind of very clever. And, you know, a while ago, I was thinking about the idea of, you know, the success of the container, like the cargo container and how that revolutionized storage. And I was thinking like, man, if you could have a standardized form of container that like fit in the back of a standard pickup truck, that could be kind of a cool thing because you could say like, oh, well, I could turn my garage into a mini storage thing and I can store four of these things in there. And all you need is a pickup truck to move it from point A to point B. And that would be maybe an interesting sort of way to do, you know, to take storage and make it even more, push it into the Uber Airbnb model.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Airbnb, so storage, you know, garages or basements or something like that, like turn that into a money making thing.
And if you have a standardized container, you know exactly how much space X, Y, or Z is going to take up.
You could put it in now with technology, is it's not that expensive to put some sort of security system so you know when the doors opened or closed or whatever. And there are ways to account for that. We've got models and things like that to ensure and to make these things work. So it's not like, well, I don't know if I put it, I give it to the stranger and it's like, well, you know, we insured or bonded or anything. If I'm going to get trust my life in a stranger's car. Yeah. And so I think that's sort of like, you know, that could be another model. It may not really be practical, but I do think that a lot of people who do apartment living and do that, but you have people who live further out who have, you know, 20 miles away from you is somebody who's paying a lot less to live, 20 miles away to have some of your stuff stored, not that big of a distance if you don't need it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean,
well, sure. And the idea that, like, you know, if the pitch on a lot of this is like, hey, just have some passive income, right? Or have some income coming in. More passive income, I guess, is the Airbnb thing, although that does require a little bit of upkeep. If the idea is, hey, you know, we have a house and it's going to just be kind of sitting around for a little bit while we're, you know, renovating or doing something else, or like, hey, we can fill up some of these rooms with somebody's stuff. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about in the chat, really pointed out, like, you have, there is standard units for, like, you know, the container, which was a standardized unit in the 60s. It just revolutionized transportation tremendously. There's an air cargo unit. You'll see, if you go by the airport, you'll see FedEx loaded these rounded top things into planes that go into there. You have a pallet. A pallet's become, it's a standard, it's a floor print, but it doesn't have a height or depth thing to it. I think if you modeled something on what could fit into, like, you know, what's the, I think, like, you know, like, what's the most, you know, standardized pickup truck size. I think that could be kind of a great model to do that, because then you could take this pickup truck size thing that, you know, that can fit anywhere, or maybe it's something that fits through a doorway. I guess that should be the model, is that it's the width of a pickup truck, but narrow enough to be pushed through a doorway.
So it might be pretty short. Yeah.
Oh, totally. I mean, the idea is you want to take advantage of the basements of the world. Right. Like, you
our
know,
garages, basements. The problem with basements is it's getting it up and out of it. And that's, for many people, that's not a practical thing to do. If you say, let's take advantage of garages, you know, it never has to go down a flight of stairs.
Garager.
Air garage. And I'm sure somebody is, there is a startup or somebody doing this kind of thing. But that gets into, you know, there was an idea a while ago, which is being used now, is taking advantage of spare computational cycles. You know, what is your computer doing when it's not being run? You know, why not use it to run other things? And,
well,
you know,
and that was folding at home. That was the whole day.
That was one of the, even before then, there were prior to folding at home, but that was one of the prominent ones that was used for.
Yeah.
And so there was SETI at home was, I think, first, or one of the first ones was SETI at home. And that was, you know, just neat sort of ways to take advantage of that. But that's not the only way. But you look at, like, you know, you look at, like, what are some of the biggest businesses now? And you look at, you know, Facebook is a $400 billion company, and it's the niche that it has begun to fill is sort of as a social networking and communications niche. And that's one side of it. But then you have things that sort of it's displaced a lot of things, but other things displace just a few things. And, you know, Uber in the case of transportation, Airbnb hotels. And so anyway, it was just an interesting exercise listening to this audiobook about these disruptive things, thinking, well, what are we going to see next?
So the closest thing that I could find to Uber for storage is clutter.com, which raised $9 million, I believe. But as best as I can tell, it doesn't give you an opportunity to be the storage space.
Oh, right.
Just kind of a cooler, hipper way to just get people to pick up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering like that, because there's what you had was you had a reaction to pods, and pods came out. So U-Haul came out with U-Box or whatever, and their own forms of this sort of stuff. So I look at this sort of thing where, yeah, their model is like the closet plan to store what you'd put in a closet. It's a 5x5, you know, unit, which is $90 a month and whatever. And I'm like, I think that could be a very, very disruptive sort of thing. If you looked into that, and again, there are problems, but Uber is such an example of something that, if it didn't exist and you pitched it to people, and Uber had a problem, a lot of people are like, no, this won't work, this is just too problematic or whatever, but it did. It's worked amazing, you know. And the same with like Airbnb. Airbnb had a lot of problem. A lot of, you know, people didn't want to get into it. And you take Salesforce.com, which is a totally different business. That was another one, software as a service, that investors are like, nah, we don't really see that. No, we don't think that. And that's like one of the biggest industries in the world now.
Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, no, they're building the buildings that Uber will move into. That'll be adjacent to the new Warriors stadium in downtown San Francisco. They are building two of the biggest buildings in one of the most explosive, high cost areas. Like, Salesforce is just a monster, and it's something that, like, you know, for many people, you don't even think about it. Like, I remember seeing those first, like, software, no hardware, whatever. I forget what their thing was, but it shows you. I can't even remember what their selling point was, but it was such a killer message for businesses that they just blew up. They exploded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So I listened to that Mark Benioff's biography or autobiography, Behind the Cloud, which was, you know, interesting story about that, of how he saw that. And I use that as one of my favorite examples because Salesforce is a company that most people aren't aware of. They don't know what Salesforce really is unless you use it. And Salesforce is a huge company, very, very pervasive. And it's started with, you know, how do you manage all of your contacts and all your leads? And yeah. You know, it sort of evolves from there. So, I'm looking for like the Airbnb for self-storage, and there's people asking about that. And there's, I don't know if there's a defined market leader in that stuff.
I did find this, storage-together.com does allow you to become a vetted host. So that would seem to be, at least in that same thing, but they are local to Arizona. I guess they just won a contest. I don't know exactly how far along they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's going to be a useful area, and seeing somebody get into that is going to be good. I'm looking up Roost.
The one thing that both Airbnb and Uber had though. You know, Airbnb could sell you the idea that, like, hey, go on vacation, but now you can be a little bit closer and you can have a kitchen and stuff like that. You can have some of these amenities that hotels are just not going to offer you. Uber had such a defined villain in taxis that there was just this drive that people wanted to see them have the taxi experience not suck, not be so expensive, and literally anything that could do that, they were going to be in favor of. So it'll be interesting.
My thinking of the villain kind of, if you watch, you know, whenever you put anything into storage, your fear is that you'll forget to pay or whatever, or something will happen. And the next thing you know, you're seeing your stuff on Storage Wars.
On Storage Wars, right? Yeah, totally.
You
know?
And I think that's sort of like, you could say like, hey, here's the deal, is like, what happens when there's a fee you can pay that, you know, we'll just bring it back to your place. You know, that like, what happens if I forget to pay or whatever? Like, oh, you know, we call up the last address that you registered with us and we send it there. You keep your address up to date, it just gets delivered there.
Yeah.
You know, that would be like, that would be the security where storage places. Cause if you have that, cause the thing is like here, what you can do this that the problem with pods is that like, there's two kinds of storage. There's furniture storage, which is problematic, and there's everything else. And if you say this is the everything else kind of thing, you can then say, yeah, load it through my doorway. If you have a pod, you know, we can't put that through your doorway. You know, we can't put that inside your house.
Right.
And I think that would be sort of an interesting thing to solve sort of the smaller storage solutions. Because I think the problem is a lot of storage and moving stuff is one size fits all. But there's, you know, I didn't need to like, you know, like my furniture, I'm just leaving my furniture there, you know, and if I decide to move or whatever like that, and my furniture's not that expensive, I'll probably just give it to Salvation Army or something. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I digress. That was just, you know, listening to those books, just making me thinking about like, what are the next frontiers and the things we're going to see and what would be things that would make our lives easier.
Dude, totally. Well, I'll tell you, if anybody has any thoughts on that, go ahead and send them in. Where should they send them, Bryce?
Send them to neshcom@gmail.com, neshcom@gmail.com. Use after things in the subject line.
Yeah, tell us, what are the problems you're dealing with?
Yeah. What would you like to help with or need help with?
Because especially for Uber and Airbnb, right? Those, like you mentioned, grew out of taxi services being really awful and you know, people wanting specific and higher end hotel experiences. So that would also be an interesting thing of like this industry is.
Well, and also it's like what killed it for Airbnb was like, when it's like, oh, wait, hold on. I can just make money by renting out my spare room. Like, great. Fantastic. I love people. I love people from all over the place. They can all come on in and stay a night, you know? Like that was something that there was a big available stock you know, and Uber beginning with delivery cabs and then eventually going into, you know, hey, you unemployed? Get driving.
Yeah, it's really opening access to both of those industries, really.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to get in with a taxi company or start a hotel.
Yeah.
Here's a interesting is Spacer.com, which Roost, I guess, became or got bought by or whatever. They do all kinds of different sort of space sort of thing, but it's not like a, like, oh, we have a parking space, you know, we have this. But I think the problem there is it's so all over the place. Storage room for rent in Los Angeles, this. It's not solving that problem of, hey, just send this standard sized unit box to my house. Let me put what I need and want inside of there. And then,
sure,
you know. But I'm sure there's solutions. Somebody's going to nail it right and it'll make everybody's life easier. But it doesn't mean that you can't think of some new approach to it. So anyhow, my pick is the Upstarts. I thought that was I enjoyed it. I loved, you know, just hearing about the way it was, you know, these different companies thought. I think Brad Stone is a really good writer. I like the way he, you know, approaches these things. So if you guys have any picks.
Bryce, if you have anything, you can go ahead.
I don't know if I have a pick.
No picks? All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. My pick is I haven't even watched him yet, but I'm very excited to watch Veep and Doctor Who. Very excited to watch.
Oh yeah,
both debuted.
The Leftovers is back too. Leftovers is good.
Yeah. Oh, and cool. And the new Kendrick Lamar.
Oh yeah. Cool. He didn't end up dropping that Easter album, did he?
He did not.
Well, gentlemen, it's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.